Sorry about that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what it do, everybody? Lee and Keys, real talk, back at you. I know we've been off for the past couple of weeks, but that's okay. You know, it's the holidays. But we back at you tonight, live and direct. Got a big card coming up this weekend. We got a lot to talk about, but I'm going to throw it to my co-host right now. What's up, Keys, man? How you doing?
What's up, baby? Yeah, we're in here, you know, a couple weeks, but it's no problem. We're back at them. You know, on this show, we love these big cards. You know, it's always exciting. It's like a holiday for us when you have these big, big cards like this. And you know it's a big card. You have, it feels like it's a lightweight unification fight, but it's not. But, you know, it kind of feels like it is. It's a stacked card, and we're going to have a good time talking about it. So I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah, man. I actually did a deep dive into the card today. Man, this is like the UFC is going hard on this last card of, I think it's the last card of the year. 15 fights, man. 15 fights, two championship fights. We got Cody Garbrandt making his debut at flyweight. Sean O'Malley is on the card. Jeff Neal versus Santiago Ponzinibbio. That's a good one. Josh Emmett versus Dan Ige. Pedro Munhoz versus Dominic Cruz. Man, we got some bangers on this card, bro.
Yeah, I forgot that you had Cruz and Pedro on the prelims. You know, I forgot that. I'm pretty sure Sean O'Malley over there, you know, he's on the card. I think he's on the main card. Like, I forgot about that one. And I know there's a whole lot of other ones, too, that I'm still forgetting. I'm about to pull up the card. Probably not UFC.com because sometimes, you know, they don't have, you know, the most up-to-date card. But I'm going to pull that up in a second.
Yeah, I always pull it up on ESPN. Your girl fighting, too, Jillian Robertson, she's on the card. A guy that I like is on the card. Alex Perez is on the card. Ryan Hall is on the card.
Yeah,
Yeah, I know.
You know I'm a big, you know I'm a big fan of Robertson. You know that. Big fan of Robertson.
Is on the card.
It says, it's gonna be a banger. It is a banger.
Yeah, I think I'm probably gonna go out and watch it this weekend. I'm probably gonna get out the house. Throw on a hoodie, some Timberlands, step out to the bar, go watch it. I think, I'm going to get out the house this weekend.
Yeah, hoodie and Timberlands, man. That's that East Coast vibe. I saw you voting for that team, that West Coast team, but you sound like hoodie and Timberlands. That sounds like some New York stuff right there.
Hey, man, look. I'm from the East Coast, dog, but I couldn't vote for Team A because my favorite rapper of all time was on Team B. And then they had the nerve to have my favorite rapper currently, my second favorite rapper currently, on Team B. So that swayed me to Team B, man.
What was it? Tupac, your all-time, and then Kendrick as your current favorite?
He's my second current favorite. J. Cole is my first.
Oh, I thought Tupac was your all-time favorite.
He is. Tupac is my all-time favorite, but Kendrick was on his team, so, you know.
Yeah, I saw that. So.
That was a good stack, though. I mean, the way they had the teams maxed up, but.
Yeah, it was. Both teams were. Both teams were powerhouse teams, you know, that they picked, whoever picked that, they did well because that was hard, you know. It just really came down to who you like because really at the end of the day, like both teams had some great artists and dudes that great pens, you know what I mean, great pens and great artists on both lists. great writers. So it's overall that was very well done. Whoever put those together.
Yeah, I mean, it was great because I was like, man, this is hard, bro. So, yeah, I saw you had replied to it, and I looked at it. I was like, I know Key's probably thinking I'm going to just go opposite because he went this way. But, you know, Tupac is my guy, dog. But look,
yeah,
man.
No, but really, I replied to it first.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I thought you were saying when I saw yours.
I didn't want you to think I was going opposite because you went one way.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put it past you to do that. I wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't put it past you to do that, but you probably think the same thing of me. You know, we've done that a lot on this show. The listeners know that, so. That could have easily happened either way, but you know, I think it is what it was.
Oh man, that's hilarious, dog. But I feel you. But look, man, let's get into it, man. We got 15 fights to talk about. Actually, we don't have 15 fights to talk about, but we got a lot to talk about on this card.
But we gotta even before we even get to it, I think we gotta talk about. What happened with my boy Rob Font, man? What happened with him? He just fought Aldo. Can we take a few and talk about that? You want to break that down?
Yeah, you know what? I like the way Rob Font came out in that fight. I like that he put the wrestling part into Aldo's head in the first round. I just thought that he made it too much of a stand-up fight. And then when he got hurt at the end of the first round, when he got grazed a little bit, I was like, okay, so he going to go back to the wrestling. And he didn't. I mean, the only thing he went for another takedown the rest of the fight. Font, he's going to have to become a little more well-rounded, Keys, because he likes to stand and trade, but he takes too much. He's taking too much punishment in his last two fights. Well, he fought Holloway, and then he just came back and fought Aldo.
He didn't fight Holloway. You're thinking about Calvin Kattar fought Holloway.
Calvin Kattar, yes.
And then you're thinking Rob Font fought Cody, and he beat up Cody.
he
boxed up Cody pretty bad, and then so, but which kind of crazy to think of, because I was thinking about it, and I was like, while I thought, Aldo definitely outclassed him pretty clearly in that fight. I thought I had Rob winning the first round, and then I think I had Aldo winning every round after that. So 2, 3, 4, 5 I had for Aldo, and round one for Rob. So 4-1 Aldo is how I had it on my scorecard, and that was me, and that was me being, you know, you might even be, you know, some people might even be surprised by that, because I'm gonna vouch for the home team, you know, I'm gonna vouch for my guys, but I keep it honest too, and I didn't think, you know, I thought Aldo was outclassing him in there, and Aldo, you know, was able to control him when he was in top position, Aldo, I feel like, was debatably outstriking him. I can't really tell because I don't want to say he was outstriking him really because I can't all the way say it. Like, I feel like half it was kind of like both of them were doing certain things better as far as the striking. But Aldo definitely outclassed him overall, outclassed him as far as MMA, just overall outclassed him. Aldo controlled top position very well. And Font, you know, he wasn't able to deal with that, and he wasn't able to get back to his feet, you know, in those moments, and that definitely hurt him real bad. And then the striking was weird because, you know, when they showed the striking, like I think it was like at the end of round one or end of round two, when they showed the total strikes, Font was up big over Aldo in the total strikes. Like, he had more than, like, 50-something strikes more than Aldo had. I want to say that was at either end of the first or end of the second. And but then overall, I felt like Aldo landed the bigger shots on Font. So it was kind of weird. So it's, that's why I feel like it was kind of hard to tell who was really outstriking who. Like I said, I think in the long haul, I think Aldo outclassed him as far as the total package and as far as the wrestling. But the striking was kind of an illusion to me. It's hard to really tell who is outstriking who there. But props to Aldo, though. He had a really good performance. Aldo's been looking great.
Yeah, I think when you were watching the fight, you could tell both guys were actually, they were really lumped up. Both of them had swollen eyes that were down there closed. But I just think that when you seen the way Font would react to getting hit by Aldo compared to the way Aldo would react when he would get hit by Font, it would seem like every time Font would get hit with a solid shot, it seemed like he would always take, like, two steps back or look like he was about to go down. And I thought Font would have been the better striker in that fight, but I think Aldo was the more efficient striker in the fight because his strikes looked like they were doing damage compared to Rob Font's strikes. But I thought Rob Font should have just added a little bit more wrestling to his game, especially, you know, when he was getting rocked sometimes. Sometimes if you just threaten a guy with a takedown, they might lower their head. You can hit him with a knee. You could fake it, come up with an uppercut, anything to make them think they will get taken down. And he never did that after the first round.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I definitely agree with what you said, that he's got to go back to the drawing board. You know, Rob's got to go back to the drawing board and get more well-rounded. He's got to work on wrestling, definitely work on his takedown defense, definitely work on, once he gets taken down, you know, how he's working that bottom position, you know, to get out of there, you know. It seemed like he was kind of stuck in a lot of those moments, and Aldo was controlling him pretty good from top, and I think, yeah, there's definitely work that could be done there. So, yeah, the takedown defense, you know, working in bottom position and advancing his positions overall in the entirety of the wrestling exchanges, just advancing his positions, defending the takedowns, and then maybe even, you know, work on his own takedowns, you know, to implement that into his game so he's not relying so heavily on his hands, you know. I definitely think that could be a good thing. And, you know, you have that, you know, work on the wrestling and grappling, definitely. You know, you even see Holloway doing that now. Look at Holloway. He had, he fought Yair Rodriguez. He had three takedowns in that fight, which is his all-time high. He's never landed that many takedowns in a fight. He never really goes for takedowns, so, you know, it makes sense. But he was actively looking for the takedown, and he was getting them very easily, you know. It looked like Max has been drilling wrestling. You know, you can, to me, you know, I'm not a wrestling guy. I'm not Daniel Cormier who's going to be able to tell if a guy has been, you know, drilling wrestling, and I can really see, you know, what's good work, you know. But just from my amateur perspective, I think that, you know, Holloway is trying to diversify himself, and I think he has that next, you know, fight in mind, that next Volkanovski fight, and he wants to try out some different things in that fight. I don't think he wants to have to rely on his hands, and I think Rob Font can learn a lot from a guy like Holloway. You know, I think Rob should take the Holloway route and start to, you know, do what he's doing, because I think that is something that Rob could benefit a lot from too.
Yeah, it's like what me and you have been saying probably since the inception of the show. When you're well-rounded and you have more tools in your tool belt, it allows you more ways to win a fight. And if you have limited amount of tools in your tool belt, it gives you a greater chance of losing a fight. So I think Font's still young. He can still become a more rounded fighter. But the thing is, he's in a division right now, Keys, that's super stacked, bro. Bantamweight is super stacked right now. So I'm interested in who they will match him up next against. But I'm quite sure it's not the last we'll see of Rob Font.
Yeah, no way. I mean, my question to you is, I mean, I actually expect if he doesn't have any, like, long layoff with, you know, any doctor suspensions or anything like that, I don't know if he's injured or at all or anything like this, but who do you think Rob Font would look to fight next? Who do you think would be a good fight for him next?
Let me look at the rankings real quick. That's a good question. Cause I like Rob Font. Let's see. Bantamweight. He just lost to Aldo. Corey Sandhagen is above him. Mirad Divashvili is under him, and Pedro Munhoz is fighting Dominique Cruz. Marlon Moraes has fell off. And then you got Marlon Vera at number 11. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Marlon Vera, Corey Sandhagen, or Mirad Divashvili. But I'm going to say they give him... a rap, man. You have 5 versus 6. How you feel about that?
I mean, I'll say this. He could, you know, everybody should be open to fighting everybody. But at the same time, I mean, if I'm him and I'm in a spot where it's like, okay, you know, Jose Aldo doesn't really wrestle, and I was able to basically – he was having a hard time getting Aldo off of him. You know, I think he would have a really hard time versus Mirab. You know, Mirab is and Mirab has hands, too. Mirab has hands.
Yeah, but Mirab is good, dog.
And he's a very, very good wrestler and grappler. So he – and we saw him actually in that, – that's interesting because we actually – man, because we saw Mirab get hurt in his last fight, and look at the way he came back. Who did he fight? He fought Moraes. And Moraes,
yep,
I think, clipped him in the first round. And then everybody was like, you know, like some people I was with, and they were like freaking out. And you could tell, you know, of course, the commentary is like, he's hurt. You know, they thought the fight was over. And I'm like, nah, it ain't over, man. Mirab's coming back from this. He's about to come back from this, and guess what? He did. He survived. And then what ended up happening?
He ended up finishing the guy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mirab ended up knocking him out.
Yep.
I think it was the second or third round after that. Mirab came back and knocked Marlon out. So that's just the thing, is that people don't do their homework on the fighters and know that they got heart. You know, that dude has heart. He's not just going to go in there and get knocked out in the first round. Like, Mirab is tough as nails, and he's very diverse. But, I wouldn't really like that fight for Rob right now, because I just feel like Mirab would just outclass him so bad with the wrestling. I don't think he would be able to deal with that. But, I mean, hey, maybe that fight makes him really work and drill wrestling. Maybe that pushes him to you know, advance his skills, you know. You might be on to something with that.
I mean, well, because you got to say he's coming off a loss, but Sandhagen is coming off a loss too. You know, and they are all right there, 4, 5, and 6, so it all depends on who they get a fight to. But one of them is going to have to fight Marab. So I was thinking that maybe they give Font Marab, but maybe they give make 4 and 5 fight, which is Font and Sandhagen. We'll just have to see how it go.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. I mean, Font, I would even like Font and Sandhagen. I think that'd be a banger too. But at the same time, you know, I probably want him to take some time and work on his wrestling and build on top of his skills, build some new skills, you know, before he, you know, gets into talks to take any fights, you know, because I don't really want him to take a fight that isn't going to challenge his skills, you know, like a fight that is a favorable matchup. I don't want him to take a fight that's a favorable matchup to where it's like, all right, they offered me this guy who's really just a pure striker, and I can just go in there and not have to challenge, you know, it'll be a good challenge, but not have to, you know, face the fear, you know, not have to go through the fear of the lack of, you know, where he lacks. I don't want him to do that. Yeah. And then get, you know, complacent with the win. You know, if he goes in versus a striker and then gets a win, I don't want him to, you know, get in his head like, all right, I'm back. And it's like, well, you didn't really improve what you needed to improve. It wasn't your, I mean, yeah, his striking could do, you know, he could still work on his striking and become a better boxer. I mean, you look at the Aldo fight, Aldo was just landing the bigger shots. I mean, Aldo was catching him on the chin, you know, Aldo hurt him a couple times in that fight. So yeah, you could still work on your striking. You know, you could still fill some of those holes in your boxing. But don't get complacent with just doing that, because I think he should be really sharpening up his ground game, you know, his wrestling, grappling, jiu-jitsu. You know, I think he should work on all those things and try to come back, you know, a more full fighter, you know, and then take on somebody, you know, maybe then he could take on one of these top 10 guys again.
I feel you. All right. All right, bro. Got to do it. Got to talk about UFC 269. We got a hell of a card Saturday. It's such a good card that Lee is going to mask up, Timberland up, Hoodie up, Levi up, Scully up, and I'm going to watch the fight. Getting up out the house, keys. So you know it's got to be big time. Hey, man, like we always do about this time, hey, which fight is your under the radar fight, bro? You got the fight up, the fights up.
Yeah, I got MMAfighting.com up right here, so I'm pretty sure this is a legit card. Jeff Neal, and for the record, everybody, Jeff Neal is fighting on this card. I was skeptical about whether he would fight, but I did read a report earlier that he is going to fight, regardless of, you know, his current situation. So that fight is on the table, which I'm happy and not happy, because it's like, you know, the UFC, I don't really think sets a good example when they do things like this with fighters. They just, it's like they don't enforce the law when the law is, you know, coming down on their fighters. So I think this sets a bad.
Hold up, Keith. What happened? Tell the people what's going on with Jeff Neal. The people might not know.
Well, hold on. Let me pull up the facts right here so I can make sure that I have everything, because I know, but I want to read it from a source. Okay, so yeah, Jeff Neal puts recent DWI arrest. Oh man, who hit me with the ad blocker, man? Come on. All right, Jeff Neal puts recent DWI arrest behind, ready to thrive off crowd energy at UFC 269. So he didn't comment on it. I'm trying to get an article that like talks about the event, not. I want to know what happened. Jeff Neal says Thanksgiving arrest.
I got it right here.
You
got it right here. Yeah, Jeff Neal was arrested on Thanksgiving Day on charges of driving while intoxicated and unlawfully carrying a weapon, per Collin County, Texas Sheriff's Office. Neal was taken into custody early November 25th. Was released after making $2,000 bond at 8:08 that night. Let me see. Neil volunteered for a blood test when he was arrested. His team believes those results will prove that Neil was not over the blood alcohol limit of 0.08. So as far as the weapons charge, Barnett said Neil Barnett, which is Neil's lawyer, said Neil had a legally licensed gun in his car and that the charge only exists because it is illegal to have a firearm in your possession while you allegedly commit a crime. So basically they're saying because he was drinking while under the influence, then basically that made the gun illegal. So, yeah, that's what happened. Now, me and you both know that the UFC doesn't discipline, doesn't punish their fighters for stuff outside of the ring. It's always the show must go on with them. And I just have a problem with that. But this ain't the time or place for us to talk about that. But what's your under-the-radar fight, bro? It's just frustrating, man. It's just frustrating.
It is. We'll have to, you know, I shouldn't have started diving into that. I should bring that up on the next show, and we'll run that topic, and we'll dive deeper into that. But, you know, I'm liking, I see Alex Perez, Jordan Wright, Bruno Silva.
There's a lot,
Sakai,
bro. There's a lot, man.
Yeah, this is savage, man. Wow, Josh Emmett and Dan Ige is fighting. Wow. And there's some Dominic Cruz. Tuivasa is already fighting again. I feel like he just knocked out Greg Hardy. He's already fighting. I mean, I guess if you knock a dude out, you don't really take much punishment. Might as well just get back in there. I know Randy Costa. I don't know the Tony Kelly guy, I don't think. Randy Costa, he's supposed to be pretty good, too. Pedro Munhoz, I'm going to go with – I think usually I like to spotlight like a more like under-the-radar fight. But being that this is on the prelims, I feel like it almost does land as an under – it almost is an under-the-radar fight. I think Pedro Munhoz and Dominic Cruz, that's probably my sleeper fight for this card. Like, the fact that it's even on the undercard is kind of confusing to me, to be honest. But, you know, I think that fight is just – that has everything it needs to be a banger or a fight of the night. Like, that's – both of those guys are very, you know, durable fighters. And Cruz is so tactical, so strategic. You know, I love watching him fight. And Pedro Munhoz is very similar. I love watching him fight. You know, he always comes in. He's ready. He's versatile. I mean, both of them are very determined guys. I think that's going to be a banger. You know, Munhoz and Cruz for me. That's got all the work is to be a fight of the night level fight.
Man, I'm going with Jordan Wright versus Bruno Silva, man. Jordan Wright's 12-1 going against the veteran Bruno Silva. 21-6. This guy, Jordan Wright, evidently the UFC sees something in him. He's been on, he fought on a fight night, then he fought a UFC 255, fought a UFC 262. Now he's fighting again at UFC 269. So I want to see what this guy got, man, going against a veteran like Silva. Evidently this is supposed to be, quote-unquote, favorable matchup for Jordan Wright because when the UFC looks at you as a star, you know, they try to build you up as much as they can, as fast as they can. So I want to see what Jordan Wright looked like going against a veteran, man. So that's the fight I want to see, Jordan Wright versus Bruno Silva. All right,
yeah,
Keith.
I definitely think that fight could be a banger, too. Jordan Wright's pretty good. I think that's the dude that he like does backflips and stuff. He's pretty.
Yeah, he do a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah, he does a lot of. He's very much a performer.
Yeah, he mess around and get in there and do something crazy, and Bruno Silva will put him in some kind of submission. So he better be careful. All right, man. What fighter you got your eye on this week, this weekend?
I feel like we just did that, didn't we?
Nah, that was fight with fighter. You know,
fighter.
A lot of guys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said what? Which fight? I'm like, that sounds like the same question.
Hey, bro, my bad. Fighter. My voice sounds kind of messed up because I'm trying to kick this cold.
Which fighter? I'm gonna go. Cody at 125 is definitely interesting.
I was thinking definitely the same thing.
Sean O'Malley's gonna fight Rolly and Pava. I think Juliana Pena, I'm interested to see what she brings to the Nunes fight. You know, I am interested in that, but I think the most interesting thing to me is Cody at flyweight. I'm very, very intrigued to see, you know, how he adapts to the weight, 125-pound weight limit, and, you know, how he looks at 125, and, you know, maybe his movement will be better. I wonder if he'll look, if he'll be faster. I wonder if he'll, his power will be, I wonder how his power will translate, you know. I wonder if, I don't know, there's a lot of things that could happen there, you know. Maybe he becomes a wrestler at 125. I have no idea. But I'm interested to see. So yeah, Cody versus Kai Kara France, and just seeing, and I'm a big Kai Kara France fan as well, as, you know, he's one of my guys to watch at flyweight. So yeah, Cody at 125. That's my fighter to watch.
I was thinking the same thing. All right, Keys, let's just go ahead and keep it 100. All right, Cody moving down to 125 to me. I'm not against it, but I'm not for it. To me, it's like he's title chasing. But we all know Cody can fight. Cody's biggest problem is his defense. He can't defend left and right hooks. It's like he don't see hooks coming. So I think that's the biggest problem. I don't think it has anything to do with his weight or nothing like that. But I'm going to go with Alex Perez, man. I'm going with Alex Perez. I think Alex Perez, if he wins this fight, he might put himself in a title contention to fight Brandon Moreno, probably for the belt. When I look at his record, his last fight, he lost to Figueiredo via submission in the first round, which isn't a good thing in a title fight. But before that, he beat Formiga. He was on a three-fight winning streak. There we go. So I want to see what Alex Perez brings to the table, man. He has to fight this fight as if it's a title eliminator. Has he made any improvements in this game since the Figueiredo fight? And we'll get that answer on Saturday. So I'll definitely be watching that fight. I think Alex Perez is and that's on the early prelims. So, you know, I'm going to have that on my phone. So, yeah, man, come on, Alex, let's go. Another guy I was going to pick outside of that was going to be I was going to pick our girl, Jillian Robinson. Because I think Jillian is so up and down, but she's such an entertaining fighter. So I was going to pick her because she's on the two-fight loser streak, lost to Talia Santos, lost to Miranda Maverick. But me and you are big fans of her, so I was going to pick her.
Yeah, Jillian Robinson is always one of my fighters to watch. I don't really think that even needs to be stated, you know, from me at least. She's not on the card, and she one of my fighters to watch. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I love that she always steps up. She fights quite a bit these days. She's been fighting pretty often, and she's game, man. She loses, and you just see her post. You know, she'll lose a fight. I love her heart, you know, and her spirit. You know, she has really good sportsmanship. You know, she comes back, you see her lose a fight, and then I follow her on Instagram. You'll see her post on Instagram literally the same night, like either right after the fight or the next day. And, you know, all positive spirits, you know. You can see that she's graceful in defeat, you know. And, you know, she never seems sour. She always seems motivated. You see her back working in the gym the next day. You know, you see her back training. So, and she's got her, you know, she's a forward thinker. She always has her mind, all right, like we lost that one, but, our mind is on the next fight. And that's one of the things that really makes me a fan of her, you know. So I'm interested to see what she brings to the Octagon Saturday night.
All right. People, forgive me for doing this, but I gotta get my man Keys amped up. Keys, bro, what is up with the competition the UFC is giving Sean O'Malley? Who is this guy he's fighting, dog? What is up with the competition they're giving him, man? I'm gonna look at the bantamweight division once again. You got Sean O'Malley. He's not even ranked in the bantamweight division. But we got Cody Stamann. We got Sung Yong Dong. I'm not even gonna say my man Frankie. He should be retiring. We got Rafael Assuncao, who I think Sean will beat him because Rafael fights too slow. What are we doing, bro? What is the UFC doing? And then they have the nerve to have him as the opener fight to the main card. Somebody needs to get cussed out.
Yeah, that's crazy to me. I guess they want to like put like an up and coming guy instead of putting like Dominic Cruz on the main card, you know. Even though I feel like him, Pedro, and Dominic Cruz is like a much better fight than Sean O'Malley versus some random dude. You know, obviously Sean O'Malley is an interesting guy to watch, and you know he's a fan favorite. But he's fighting some random dude. You know, it's not like he's fighting a top bantamweight. You know, and that like warrants the main card. That he's fighting some random guy none of us have ever heard of. You know, respectfully, like we've never heard of. So, and then Pedro Munhoz and Dominic Cruz, like that's a high level bantamweight fight. Like that fight means something in the division. Like their stock goes up a lot. That's a meaningful fight, and that's two top bantamweights. You're watching O'Malley versus some random dude like who is not a top bantamweight. I didn't even know he was in the UFC. I didn't even know he was in the UFC. That guy. I've never seen him fight. This might be his first fight. I've never seen him fight. So, yeah, you got me going with that because that's just.
Well, nah, he's been in the UFC. He's been in the UFC. Actually, he's on a 3-fight winning streak, but Top Nuts competition, he's lost to. He lost to Kaikar France by decision. He lost to Rogerio Bontorin, TKO, Dr. Stoppage. Then he beat some guy named Mark De La Rosa, Valgas Zumagalov, and Kyler Phillips. So he's on a 3-fight winning streak. So basically what they're trying to do, Keith, they're trying to pull the wool over our eyes. They're trying to say, y'all think we're just feeding Sean O'Malley tuna cans. So we're giving him a guy that's on a 3-fight winning streak. We don't care about a guy that's on a 3-fight winning streak. We want to see him fight a name. Get him a name. Let him fight a name. That's all we ask. That way we can become a better judge of who Sean O'Malley is as a fighter. Because we saw him get pieced up by Marlon Vera. And then, you know, they said he had an ankle injury and all this. But he was getting pieced up. So, it is what it is. Right, Rulian Piper, welcome to the big stage, the bright lights of the UFC. We will see what you got Saturday. Hopefully you give Sean O'Malley a fight. He got a fight in his last fight. I want to say he fought Almeida, who actually gave him a fight till he got finished. So, nah, really ain't nothing. Now he fought Montenho. Yeah, Montenho. So, yeah, man. All right, Keith, let's jump into it, man.
So I guess I'm looking at Piva's Sure Dog. He has one fight in Dana White Contender Series, and then he's had five fights in the UFC. He fought Kai Kara France, which I respect. You know, he fought one of the best guys in his first UFC fight, so I respect that. And he fought Bontorin, which I think Bontorin is another top flyweight, I believe. Yeah, I think he's top 15 as well. Mark De La Rosa, I recognize that guy. Zalgas Dzhumagulov, I've heard him before, but I'm not really too familiar with him. And then Kyler Phillips, he fought. So he won his last two by decision, and then the last one before that, he won second-round knockout. So, I mean, he's caught some guys. He's not fighting. He came out and fought Kai Kara France in his first UFC fight, so he gets a lot of respect from me, you know, for that, you know, taking some of the toughest guys, you know, right away. So I respect him for that. But, you know, versus Sean O'Malley, I don't know. I mean, this guy, you know, seems like, I mean, he's winning a lot of fights by decision. 14 decisions, 4 KOs, and 3 submissions. I mean, I don't know if he's going to go to a decision with Sean O'Malley. I don't know if that's in the cards. I mean, yeah, you probably got to finish Sean O'Malley if you want to. I don't think you're going to make it to the cards, if not beat him on the cards. So this guy probably got to finish Sean O'Malley if he wants to win. That's what I would say. Do you want to start with that fight, or which fight you want to start with?
Let's not take too long with our predictions.
We only got 15 minutes about, so we kinda,
okay.
We might got it
real quick. Who you got, Pedro Munhoz or Dominic Cruz?
I got Cruz all day.
I got Cruz all day also. Josh Emmett or Dan Ige?
I got Ige all day.
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go Josh Emmett. Although I think Ige is a better round fighter, I like Josh Emmett hands. All right, jumping into the main card. Sean, how you got Sean O'Malley winning this fight, Keith?
Yeah, so like I said, I was starting to break it down. I think Piva will have to finish Sean O'Malley if he wants to win. I mean, if 14 of his wins are by decision, it seems like he isn't that much of a finisher. So, but I don't think he's going to – I don't know if he'll make it the distance with Sean O'Malley. Sean O'Malley just lands too much. Like, he throws and lands too much volume on you for you to make it to a decision with him. Unless take him down and, like, control him on the mat or something like that. But, you know, I don't know if he's that kind of fighter. So I'll say Sean O'Malley probably – I'll say Sean O'Malley knocks him out in the second round. I'll say second round KO, late in the second round.
I'm going to go the same way. I think it'll be earlier. I think it'll probably finish him in the first round. I just don't know enough about this guy, but I know enough about Sean O'Malley that I know once he starts landing and if he sees that he's the better fighter and he's the fastest fighter, he just goes after it. So I'm going to say he wins by TKO in the first round. All right, man. Let's jump into the good fights. Cody Garbrandt, -140. Fighting Kai Kara France, +120. Cody making his flyweight debut. How do you see this fight going, Keith?
I'm kind of suspect about how Cody will do at 125. Man. I'm going to go Kai Kara France to win this one because Cody just, I see him do well at 125, but just overall in his fights lately, I just think he just hasn't looked great, and I just don't know if dropping weight is going to be the answer for him. I hope he does good, but I'll take in Kai Kara France. I'll probably have Kai Kara France second round TKO. I think the weight cut for Cody will have impacted his chin, and I think Kai Kara France TKOs him in the second round.
And the funny part is, I wish we could see Cody's body, because that would definitely help me make my decision, because I want to see whether or not he looked weak, whether or not his body looks, you know, not frail but thin. But I think his power would travel down to 125. I say he hurts Kai Kara France. I'm going to say Cody, he hurts Kai Kara France enough in this fight. He lands enough significant strikes in this fight that he wins, I'm going to say a unanimous decision. Cody Garbrandt wins by UD against Kai Kara France in his flyweight division. But me and Keys want to see Cody's defense, because at flyweight, these guys are super fast. If he hasn't worked on his defense, Keys could be right that he could be watching the stars in the second round, because his defense might not be up to par for smaller and faster fighters. All right, Keys. Jeff Neal, +110. Santiago Ponzinibbio, -130. Southpaw Jeff Neal or Donat.
Who was your pick in that last one? I'm trying to tweet it out for our account.
I went with Cody Garbrandt. Unanimous. I'm going to go UD. Unanimous decision.
All right. Yeah. Neal and Ponzinibbio, your boy.
Yep. Who you got?
Man, you love Ponzinibbio, man. I know you're locked in for his fight, man. I know that. Ponzinibbio, that's your boy. So, man, Jeff Neal, Ponzinibbio, damn. I'm going to go with Jeff Neal. I think Jeff Neal, he just looked better to me. I feel like Ponzinibbio's been kind of inactive, too. I want to say he's only fought, like, once or twice in the past, like, 3 years. Ponzinibbio, and Jeff Neal has been out here fighting some of the best guys. I mean, he pretty much just fought, Wonderboy, and even though I feel like Wonderboy dominated him and won, I'm pretty sure, every single round, I still think that was, you know, sharpening Jeff Neal's blade, you know, fighting guys like that. You know, when you fight guys or compete against anyone that's much better than you at something, or even just better than you at something, it will make you better even if you lose, you know, because you're used to facing that level of competition now. So your game is heightening too. So I think Neal will win. I'm going to go with Jeff Neal, unanimous decision.
Oh, man, Keith. All right, Ponzinibbio has fought 3 times this year. He fought January and June. And he's fighting again in December. He lost to Li Jingling via KO. And then he won. He beat some guy named Mike Baeza by unanimous decision. I don't even know who that guy is. Jeff Neal is on a 2-fight losing streak. Losing to Neil Magny. And prior to that, losing to Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. But I kind of agree with Keys. I think Jeff Neal has been fighting top-notch competition, which only improves your game. I like Jeff Neal to win this fight also. I got Jeff Neal winning this fight by split decision. Jeff Neal has to be a defensive wizard in this fight. He has to avoid Ponzinibbio power shots, and he must make Ponzinibbio come to him so he can get his stuff off first. I like Jeff Neal in this fight. Like I said, by split decision, I think it'll be probably one of the most entertaining fights of the evening. Jeff Neal has a two-inch reach advantage. And according to the stats, he's a better wrestler than Ponzinibbio. So I'm going with Jeff Neal, split decision.
Okay, on to the 135-pound title, Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena. You want me to kick this one off, or you want to get this one first?
I'll go first on this one. I think we both are the same way.
Okay.
I think Juliana Pena, man, Juliana is tough, but does she have what it takes to beat Amanda Nunes? The GOAT in women's MMA. She's been alternating wins and losses. She beat Kazanzago. She lost to Shevchenko. She beat Montano. Lost to Randomy. Then she beat Sarah McMahon. So she's been alternating wins and losses. And if that stays up, guess what? That means she's due for a loss. And I'm predicting that she doesn't make it to the championship rounds. I think Amanda Nunes figures her out after the second round. And I'm going to say I want to go at the key special, third round TKO, but I'm going to go second round KO, second round TKO for Amanda Nunes.
He said the key special. That's hilarious. Yo, for anyone that doesn't know, you probably know if you've ever listened to the show, I predicted third round TKO so many times. And don't say, and nobody, you know, don't act like I haven't been right with that pick before. Don't act like I haven't been right with that pick before, because if you go back and we do the history, the reason why that became the key special is because I was right about it multiple times in a row. And one of the first times that I made that pick and I was right about it, and I think me being right shocked a lot of people, because a lot of people didn't believe, was when Henry Cejudo had moved up to 135 and he was going to fight it was when Dillashaw, you know, had to drop the belt, and then he fought Marlon Moraes was on a tear at that time. He was just knocking dudes out left and right. He was looking invincible, and then he moved up to fight for the vacant belt, 135, and if you remember, do the history, I picked Cejudo by third round TKO, and lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. He had a third round TKO over Marlon Moraes, a guy that a lot of people doubted him to be able to beat, because he was a smaller guy coming up from 125, and Marlon was on a tear, knocking everybody out, and he basically knocked him out third round TKO. So that was one of the first times I picked it, and then I had to patent it, because I was so happy with Cejudo, you know, making my pick. I should have bet that, man. I should have bet that. I should have did Vegas odds and bet that third round TKO. I probably would have won a lot of money right there. But anyways, we're going back with the key special. Nunes, third round TKO over Juliana Pena. I just don't think anybody's on Amanda Nunes' level or Bullet Shevchenko's level. I think that, you know, I honestly kind of feel bad for these girls, you know, respectfully. You know, I know a lot of these girls are top-notch fighters, and, you know, they're diverse. They have a lot of skills. And, yes, they come to these fights, and they can bring their best to these fights, but I just feel like Nunes and Bullet are just leagues and leagues above all these girls. And it's just, like, it's so crazy, you know. And the only people that have ever challenged either one of them has been
each other.
The only one that has challenged Bullet has been Nunes, and the only one that's shown a challenge to Nunes has been Shevchenko. So I just don't see that changing. I think Nunes is just a, you know, it is what it is. I'm going Nunes third round TKO.
All right, man. Main event for the lightweight championship of the world. A lot of people out here claiming that Dustin Poirier is the uncrowned champ at 28-6. At a minus 160, going against the champ, Charles Oliveira, at 31-8, at plus 135. This is the fight that we have been waiting on. Who you got?
Man, this is a hell of a fight, man. I was in the gym tonight. I was hitting leg day in the gym, bro. I was going hard. And I was like, I don't want to listen to music anymore. I'm going to put on some 269 promo. you know, and they had the media day. I was listening to Poirier, you know, answer some media questions, and he's talking about the fight. And this is such – it's such a tough fight, man, because this is one of those ones that, like, I'm not going to be rooting against either one of these guys. Like, I'm a big fan of both of these guys, you know. So it's like it's tough when you have two guys that you ideally want to see both of them win all their fights, you know. It was like that with McGregor and Poirier. Like, I felt the same way. It was like, damn, I really got to watch, you know, two guys that I don't really want to see them fight each other, because these are two guys that I like to root for, you know, in fights, you know, in their other fights. And that's kind of how I feel about this one. That's why I liked it when I didn't really see trash talk. I mean, the press conference is tomorrow, but I really don't see any big trash talk coming from these guys, you know. And that's fine with me because, you know, I'm a fan of both. I like to see that respect, you know, two guys that I want to see do well. But, you know, I think most of the fans are behind Poirier right now. It's definitely, you know, a lot of people want to see Poirier get the undisputed belt. I mean, Poirier really wants to get the undisputed belt. I definitely think he can do it. You know, I'm not – this isn't a thing where it's like – I'm picking Oliveira to win, right? But this is not a thing where it's like the Nunes and Pena fight where it's like I just am like so confident in Nunes winning that fight. Like, we've just seen it so many times. It's not really – I feel like Poirier – like, this is really like either this is really anybody's fight. I think both of these guys, like, have what it takes to beat one another, you know. That's where, like, Nunes and Pena, I don't really think Pena has what it takes to beat Nunes. I don't think anyone in her division does. But, you know, this fight is not like that. I think both these guys do have what it takes to beat each other. I just think Oliveira, you know, is being slept on in this fight a little bit. You know, probably a lot, actually, when you look at it. He's being slept on a lot. And I'm going to go... Excuse me. I'm going to go with Oliveira by – I'm going to go Oliveira. He's never been in the championship rounds, right? But I'm going to go with Oliveira by fourth round submission. I think he'll have his first time in the championship rounds. He'll just dip into the championship rounds, and I think he'll find a submission probably first half of the fourth round. And how did I get to that pick? I really don't know how I got to that pick. That's just kind of how I see the fight playing out. I think it'll be a great back and forth, you know, for those, you know, first three rounds, their first 15 minutes. But I just feel like, you know, if and when the fight does get to the ground, I don't know that Poirier will be able to stop Oliveira's submissions. Chandler was able to do it. You know, we saw Chandler defend Oliveira's submission, so it can be done. You know, Poirier can do it. I just feel like Oliveira, you know, I just think he's the underdog here. You know, I think Oliveira's the true underdog here, and, you know, I think he gets it done.
Man, I've been waiting on this fight. My pick isn't strategy. It is a fighting style purely because I want Charles Oliveira to get his respect. So many people aren't respecting the champ. They're not putting respect on his name. The only way he's going to get respect put on his name is by winning this fight. Beating a guy that everybody feel should be walking around with the belt. I like Charles Oliveira to finish this fight. Third round submission. I don't think Poirier can handle Oliveira's ground game. We saw what Poirier did when he fought against Khabib, and I think Oliveira's ground game is just as superior as Khabib's. I like Charles Oliveira to put a stamp on his championship reign. I got Charles Oliveira winning third round submission. Easy work.
Okay, you got third round submission. I got Oliveira fourth round submission. So if neither one of us is right, man, that's a double L for the boys, man. It's not always that we have, you know, tonight we had, I feel like, many of the same picks. You know, we both took Jeff Neal, we both took Nunes, we both taken Oliveira, we both took O'Malley. So we had 4 out of the 5 main cards. I think you took Cody, right?
I took Cody.
Yeah, you took Cody. So we had four. We picked 4 out of 5, the same tonight.
Well,
almost exactly the same.
But then you took Ige, I took Emmett, you took Mulholz, I think.
No, we both took Cruz.
You both took Cruz.
So 5 out of 7. So we picked almost exactly the same five. We picked exactly the same 5 out of 7 fights. And the only difference is Emmett and Ige, we had picked opposite, and Gara France and Cody. But the 5 out of 7, we had the same. It is what it is. You know, I think it's going to be a great card. You know, we started to – go ahead.
Well, the thing with predicting fights now is basically – in the old days when we'll pick fights, we'll pick who we like. You know, sometimes we will pick, you know, based on the opponent or whatever. But now that we have grown, as the sport has grown, we become more objective and we study fights a little better now. So when we make our picks, it's knowledge-based, you know. It ain't a fan. I mean, my pick for Oliveira is strictly because I think he's deserving of being the champ. And I think this is the fight that's going to stamp him deserving of being a champ. But it's hard to pick fights, man, because anything can happen.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I know I was very subjective, you know, with my fight picks years ago. You know, I pretty much always picked with my heart. But nowadays, I you know, much more often I pick with my brain. And, you know, probably 8.5, 9 out of 10 times I pick, you know, with logic. You know, it's very, very seldom that it's like, all right, I gotta ride with, you know, so-and-so because, you know, I want to see them win. Like, you know, I don't often do that. I think years ago I would have picked Poirier in this fight. You know, I think that I would have said, all right, Poirier, you know, let's go. But I think now where I'm really looking at the numbers and I'm like, yo, you guys, like Oliveira, he's the most successful. He's the most, basically, numbers-wise, the most successful Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter in UFC history. Like, you really look at the numbers. He has the most submissions of all time. Like, and nobody wants to give that any credit, it seems like. You know, they just want to say, you know, people like Justin Gaethje just want to say that he breaks. And it's like, man, who is Justin Gaethje to say somebody else breaks, or especially to say Oliveira breaks? When's the last time you've seen Oliveira break in a fight? 2017. When's the last time we've seen Gaethje break in a fight? Hold on, let's get the facts going. Gaethje has broke in 3 of his last 9 fights, so he didn't break in roughly 66% of his last 9 fights. You broke 3 times in your last 9 fights. How many times has Oliveira broken his last 9 fights? Oh, wait, he didn't break. He won all of them. He won all of his last 9 fights. 9-fight win streak. Put some respect on it. You know what I'm saying? Am I bugging?
Nah, because if you really look at it, he was in trouble in his fight against Chandler. He was in a little bit of trouble. He got the regroup, and he came out and won the fight. I mean, I just think, it's like you said, it's a disrespect happening right now. And to be honest, everybody can say what they want. I bet you Khabib wouldn't want to take Oliveira down. I think was to fight Charles Oliveira, he wouldn't want to take Oliveira down.
Yeah, it's funny because someone asked me about that the other day. They said, if they said who, I said Oliveira is the best, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy. You know, he's the best submission artist the UFC's ever seen. Who is there that is better than him? Who is better than him? And when what basis do you prove that on? And they said, oh, you don't think Khabib's the best submission guy? I'm like, no. I'm like, Khabib has, you know, submissions, but not to the extent Oliveira's doing it. And Oliveira has the most submissions of all time. Khabib's winning decisions. He's getting submissions. Khabib was doing a mix of things. You know, and Oliveira's done a mix of things too. Oliveira's starting to knock some guys out too now, just to prove to y'all, you know what I mean, that he can do it. You know, he went and submitted everybody, you know, that he possibly could before he had to say, okay, now I need to start knocking some guys out too, because they want to try to say that, you know, if I can't to the ground, then I lose. You know, they want to try to say that if someone can keep the fight standing, that, you know, I don't have the striking for it. But I think then that's when he started to have to strike with – he started having to strike with some of these guys, just to show y'all. You know, that's why he had to strike with Chandler, and he actually finished Chandler with his hands. So that's just to show y'all.
Yeah, I once again, my pick of this fight is strictly just because I want my man Oliveira to get some respect. Normally, I don't pick that way, but I just think he has what I like to say, my trademark statement. He has more tools in his toolbox than I think Poirier does. And when you have more ways of winning a fight than your opponent, then you have a better chance of winning the fight. But, you know, this weekend is a hell of a card. I'm definitely going to be watching, starting with the early prelims. I probably had it on my phone. I'll probably watch the prelims here. And then I'm probably going to get out, because the bar I'm probably going to go to is only up the road. So I'll probably leave right after the prelims main event, and I'm going to go check the fights out. Any last words, Keith?
Nah, nothing. You know, I just tagged you on that. You know, Dominic Cruz kind of calling out Cormier for, you know, his you know, subpar commentary. And it's funny because I say that while I'm watching these cards. I'm like, yo, what is DC talking about right now? Like, I find myself saying that a lot, you know, during these cards. And I don't know if I want to say I've gone in on the commentary on our show a couple times recently, but just telling people that I watch with too, that like, yo, let's just like play music while the fights are on. I don't want to listen to the commentary because these guys just say nonsense. Like, it's always he's hurt, or, you know, being one-sided to like a certain guy that they like and not crediting what another guy's doing or another girl's doing. And I hate that. You know, I don't like to have people try to, you know, change my perception of the fight. You know, I want to just watch it and then me just judge, because I know how the commentary likes to play, man. When, you know, Chimaev is in there, or, you know, one of these guys like up and coming, they want to just only talk about them. So, you know, yeah, it is what it is. I'm glad he called him out for that. But yeah, I tagged you on that. And, you know, thank you to everybody who listens to our show. UFC 269 is going to be a straight banger of a card. I'm dying to watch it. Looking forward to it. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. We get to everything we possibly can in these shows. And, you know, if you call in to listen, call in to chat, even if you tweet us and you have a topic, you know, you want us to break down, you could shoot us a tweet to our account at LKE Real Talk, you know, at Lee's Twitter, at my Twitter. You know, you can add us in, if there's a topic you want us to, you'd like to hear on the show, you know, feel free to tweet it to us. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. Everybody, have a great rest of your week, and thank you for listening.
Even if you follow us on Twitter and you want to have a little back and forth, you know, just add us. You know, that's how me and Keys met, going back and forth on Twitter. I mean, you know, we like to talk on Twitter. You know, we like a little bit of back and forth, as long as it's respectable, stay clean, no punching below the belt. You know, but thanks for everybody listening to the show. Have a great weekend. You know, practice social distancing, wear your mask, Like I always say, like Keys always say, the vaccination is a personal choice. You either believe in it or you don't. I'm going out this weekend. I'll be masked up. And I'm just looking forward to just watching good fights this weekend. So everybody take care. Happy holidays. Enjoy your family. And we'll be back next Wednesday to definitely break down UFC 269. I may live tweet during the fights. Don't hold me to that. But probably 7 out of 10, I'm probably going to be tweeting during the fight. So, yeah. Everybody have a great weekend. Positive people, positive energy, positive results. Lee and Keys, as always, signing out with a peace.